Corinthians chapter number 2. It's been on our heart for a while, and we thought we'd be preaching on it Sunday night, and God gave us another message for Sunday night, and then God gave the church another message for Sunday night. I've been thinking about that boldness all day long, and thanking God for boldness in the Spirit, boldness in the Word, boldness in faith, and thank the Lord for all those things. And sometimes boldness is needed to be done. And in the face of adversity, sometimes that's what you need to have to get things out. And I'm going to be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to read at verse number 9, all the way down to verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9, all the way down to verse number 16. If you got Corinthians chapter number 2, say amen.
Amen.
In God, say, hold up, preacher. And this is what it says. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth and says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Would you help us pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for being here this evening. And we thank you, Lord, Father, for the midweek service. We thank you, Father, for what you plan on doing in this service, how you're going to speak. And Lord, we ask you to speak. And that in volume, Lord Father, but not as much as in volume as, Lord Father, as it is to our heart. Father, that we would mind the things that have been spoken by your Spirit. As we have said before many a times, that we should give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That is in Hebrews chapter number 2. And Father, in Revelation, and throughout seven times, I do believe in seven churches, it says, at least in the beginning of Revelation, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." And Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that's what we need. We need to hear you speak. God, we do know that you'll speak through and by your word, which has been touched and by and anointed by you, the Holy Ghost. And Father, we pray, Lord Father, that we would adopt these things, apply these things to our life. And God, if there be anyone here that's not born again, not saved, God, tonight would be the night that they would be. Father, that they would be spiritually born again. Father, we love and thank you and praise you, Father, and all things, Lord Father, no matter what we do, that you'd get glory and honor to your high and holy name. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading and praying with us. There's some things in this chapter that I've always looked at, and some things that God has always showed me, and the things at the crux of chapter number 2. The Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Corinth. The things that happened in the church of Corinthians was a lot of carnality, a lot of carnal ways of thinking was going on. The Apostle Paul said in the 3rd chapter, he talked about how he couldn't speak unto them as spiritual, he had to speak unto them as carnal, because the way that they would think and look at things, a lot of things that they would look at as gifts-wise, they was looking at the carnal side of things more than the spiritual side. And Paul had reminded them later on in the book of Corinthians that how the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal.
And can I say this tonight, when it comes to the Spirit of Lord, the Spirit of God, that's exactly what we need in our everyday life, in our everyday walk. I was thinking about how this scripture, and the reason why I've come to this, I was talking to an individual a while back, not too long ago, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, we was talking about things, about the spiritual things that God does. And you've heard me even say that when we come together, it's a supernatural thing that's going on in the house of God. It's not just natural, it's supernatural. Our God is a supernatural God. He's not just a God like a totem pole or a lucky charm or anything like that. He's not a rabbit's foot, but He is the God of heaven and earth. He is the God who made all things. And the Bible says that He seeketh people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But here the Apostle Paul is speaking in this second chapter how that man doesn't know truth unless the Spirit of God reveals it unto him. Oftentimes I've thought about this, and oftentimes I'm reminded that it's not the carnal way of thinking that applies to the Scripture. Yes, you can read the book, you can read the Bible as it is outlined, and you can read it historically, and then historically it matches up. And you can read the Bible, and you can try to do things physically, and you can try to adopt the principles of the Bible and do these things physically and carnally, and they can still match up. I believe you can do a lot of things carnally in this Bible and use it as a carnal book and still be somewhat of a success. But the theme of this book is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is a spiritual book, being discerned spiritually, being received spiritually, and being understood spiritually. Because the Bible says that it takes the Spirit of God to reveal them unto us. I was thinking about this. I heard William Booth. He was a minister back in the 1800s. He started off with the Methodist Church. Later on, he left the Methodist Church when they began to do things contrary to what he believed to be in God's Word. And he went out preaching, and he went out going out and trying to win souls unto Christ. And he said something that had always stuck with me. He said, "I have considered that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be a religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and a heaven without hell." What he was saying was that they was going to take all the things out that would have a person search the Scriptures, or have a person search the Lord, or seek and find out God. But what they would try to do is change a religion and make it to where it was appeasing and pleasing unto the carnal mind, and that people would not have to worry about the Spirit of the Lord. I'm glad tonight that I do know this, that there is still religion, and it is of the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says, without holiness you shall not see Him. I'm glad tonight, the Bible, that we do have a Christianity with Christ in it. Can I stop right there and say something? Christianity is not a movement. Christianity is not just a fad that's a sweeping through, like the evangelical fad or the charismatic fad or the get into the arena type church type fads. But Christianity is a behavior. A behavior that comes from the Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of an individual, and them trying to be Christ-like in this world. It is character. It is behavior. It is the way a person carries themselves. May I remind everybody, it was the Bible says in the book of Acts, at the church of Antioch, they were first called Christians. They were being Christ-like. They was trying to mimic and trying to behave and trying to live as Jesus lived. Y'all hear this preacher?
Amen.
And so many times in here, and so many times in the Scriptures, and so many times I've thought about what William Booth said about how we're living in a day where they'll have repent, we'll have regeneration without any repentance, or have salvation without regeneration, and have forgiveness without repentance. Can I say something this evening? I've heard people say that they never repented, they just believed God. But my Bible tells me you will not get forgiveness unless you first have some repentance in your life. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter number 20, he said, "I held back nothing from you, but testifying both to the Jew and the Greek, it was repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ." And can I say this tonight? Repentance is you taking sides with God against yourself. Repentance is when that fear of God gets a hold of your heart and shows you that you are not correct in His eyes. Repentance is when you find out that you're on the wrong side of the discussion when it comes between you and God, and you decide to go God's way instead of sticking your way. And when you go to God's way, you put all that repentance towards Him, saying, I'm forsaken and forgetting the things that I once did. I'm forgetting and forsaken the things that I've been doing. I'm putting all my faith in God, all my faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that's salvation. So many times we're living in a day, and so many times people saying they want forgiveness, but they don't want the repentance. So many people's wanting a salvation that talks about heaven, but don't you dare mention hell. But I'm telling you, folks, today it's the same as it always has been. The Bible says it has not changed.
Right.
There's still a heaven to gain, and there's still a hell to shine. There's still repentance that needs to be done. There's still for some forgiveness that needs to be sought. There's still some things that needs to be done, and they have to be done through and by the Spirit of the Lord.
Right,
I'm reminded here in this scripture, as we look, this Bible talks about how that we look at these things. I want you to know the first thing it talks about, that you've got to have the Spirit of God to show you these things. I've heard people say, I've read that book from cover to cover. I've read the Bible so many times and I don't understand the lick of it. And I've been asked, they said, preacher, do you understand all of it? And I've got to say, no, I don't understand all of it. But everything I know, I'm glad I know. Because it wasn't by my education that I know it. But it was through and by the Holy Ghost of God when it tossed over that it showed it unto me. The Bible says in 1 John that we have an unction with the Holy One. And it revealeth and it teacheth us all things. It is the truth and it is not a lie. I'm glad to know this, that there is an unction that we have with the Holy One. He will teach us all things. The Bible says, I thought about this, it says, how can somebody know anything that's godly? How can we know anything that's heavenly? How can we only think it's biblical? How can we only think it's spiritually? Or anything that we can know being in our carnal mind and our carnal heart? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9, it says, but ye are not all in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. The first thing it takes to get this on the inside is you've got to have the Spirit of God revealing it and living it in your life. I've often been looked at, I've often thought about this and look at the situation. I was talking to someone here recently, he was talking about a person that we mutually know, and I was talking to him and they said, you ought to go up and ask that person about their testimony. And I said, why should I go ask them about their testimony? He said, when I was talking to him in a conversation, and I asked him when they got saved, and the reply was, well, I just always believed in God. He says, no, when did you get born again? They said, well, if I did, it was when I was a little kid, but I just always believed in God. I don't remember. Can I say something? You just don't always believe in God. Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross for every man, boy, woman, and girl, because the Bible said that it was appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Why is it appointed unto man once to die? It's because of sin. And because there's sin in the world and death comes by sin, there needs to be a Savior. And the only way you can get from this life and go to heaven is through and by a born-again salvation experience with God. You have to have that born again. You have to be saved. And the Bible says that's where you get that Spirit. Jesus, we've said here recently, that Jesus said in John chapter 14 or 15, 14, he said, we will take up our abode in your heart. We will take up our abode in your life. And I've often thought about this when it comes to these things in these scriptures. This Bible says unless you have that Spirit of God, you're none of His. Can I say the first thing that you need to have is that salvation drawing experience in your life. When I said you have to be saved and born again, there must be a drawing power that comes from God. Jesus said in John chapter number 6, He said, all that has come unto me, my Father hath given me. He said, God had drew them unto me. The Bible says that John, in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, no man cometh unto me unless my Father first draweth him. And can I say this, Brother James Powell? I don't know when it happens in a person's life. I just know when the wooing power got overwhelming in my life. I remember feeling it as a 12-year-old boy, and I pushed it aside and pushed it away and didn't feel it again until I was 27. I've heard some people say they got it when they were 7. I've heard people say they got drawn when they was 80-something years old. Hey, it don't matter when you got drawn. Yep. But the fact of the matter is you had to be drawn. And if you didn't get drawn, you'd be didn't get saved.
Amen.
So many times we want to leave the Spirit out of the thing unless it comes the time to make us feel good. But he says here in this second chapter, you can't know the things of God unless you have that Spirit. I've heard people say this, and don't get mad at me now. We was talking about this, and I got myself, and I guess you'd say, I don't know if I got myself in trouble, Brother James, but when you said you step out and do something for God, you know, that trouble just sometimes comes. They was having a Bible study once a month. They was having Bible studies. And somebody come to me and they said, "Preacher, would you please teach one of the Bible studies on a Saturday night?" I said, "Yes, I'll teach one." So I began to pray, and I began to pray. And God began to deal with my heart. And the lesson that he gave me to teach was that we really, truly don't understand free will. We think we have this great big free will, and realistically, we do not have it in the way that man says it. Well, that lesson began to start. You should have seen the frowns and the looks that I got. And what God was trying to show with us, and that showed them that lesson. And some folks said, "I never thought of it that way." But until God comes by and through and by His Spirit and reveals Himself unto you, and until the gospel is preached and the Spirit of the Lord reveals it in your heart, you don't know which way to go. Now, you may think you have an idea in your head, but I'm telling you, you don't know how to get there unless the Spirit of God takes you there. Y'all hear this, preacher? I've often heard people say, "Well, preacher, I don't know nothing about this Spirit. I just know that it's true." Well, that's a good thing, but I'm telling you, you need the Spirit of God, because I just read Romans chapter number 8 and says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you're none of His. When I thought about how folks look at things and look at the things of the Bible, I began to think about the things that we must have. And the first thing we got to have is got to have that revelation. You got to have a revelation, you got to have some inspiration, there's got to be some illumination if you're going to have the Spirit of God show things unto you. Notice it says, and I want to get this, and I want to try to get through it without being stalled up and held up. But in the 9th and 10th verse it says, "But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into thy heart, into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And I'll be honest with you, the first time I read that, I would enjoy that scripture. But I remember when God was starting to pull things aside in this scripture right here, in this first part of verse number 9 and verse number 10, God is trying to tell us is that there's more to it than just what the words say. Because so many times people will say, "Well, yeah, that's talking about heaven." Oh, yes, and it is talking about heaven, but the Apostle Paul is quoting scripture from the Old Testament. When he said, "Eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." That means they're already prepared. That means he's got things already set up. He's got things ready for us to have for them that love him. But the next verse says that the Spirit did reveal them unto us. Can I say this, Sister Shirley? There's a whole lot more to a Christian life than glory. Don't get me wrong. I want to go to heaven, and I think heaven's going to be off the chain and off the hook. But there's so many things in this life that God has got prepared for us, that God has set aside for us. There's so many things God wants to give us in this life. Hey, I believe the scripture in John chapter number 10, where it says the thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, "But I have come to give you life, and that life more abundantly." Oh, I'm telling you, friends, there's a whole lot more to this life than just getting the belly grubs and trying to get from Monday to Monday or from Sunday to Sunday. There's a life, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're not waiting to get on the old gospel ship. We're already on the old gospel ship. We're on the old ship of Zion. And there's many a blessings that's there, and many a blessings that have been prepared for them that love him. Well, preacher, how come I miss the blessings for? Because we're not spiritually discerning what God hath us to do. He says in this scripture, in the 10th verse, he says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Lord, the Spirit of God, he just doesn't show you here and there. And that revelation, when you have a revelation, it is a surprising, and it's a surprising and previously unknown fact, something you didn't know before, and especially one that has made known in a dramatic way, a divine or supernatural disclosure, if you'll have it. I've often said this, and I believe it, there's no way somebody's going to get regenerated unless first they get revelated. They have to have that revelation. There is a dawning. There is a supernatural realization that happens in a person's life when conviction gets a hold of them. I can't figure it out, and I can't put my finger on why so many people take so many people to get saved, and some people get saved just like that. Some people were under conviction for 5 minutes, and some people was under conviction for 5 months, or for 5 days, or for 5 weeks. I don't know, I can't understand it. But the Bible says as soon as that revelation comes, it'll make you known. That means you're no longer ignorant. Your eyes have been opened to what God's been trying to show you. And that when God shows you, you don't have to ask nobody else. You don't have to ask him if they've seen or heard it. You know exactly what's going on. Like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And he's got the papers in his hand to have the church arrested and persecuted. But when the light shined around those folks on the road to Damascus, the Bible said they all fell to the ground because the light was so bright. But the Apostle Paul heard a voice. And when the voice said, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the Apostle Paul says, I said, Lord, who art thou? His eyes was opened. If you'll have it, he saw much better when he was struck blind. Not seeing physically, but seeing spiritually. He had a revelation. Some folks say, well, I don't believe in that stuff. I just think that's just a bunch of mind tricks that preachers try to use. Well, you can say what you want. But the revelation, the Bible says, the last book of the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Not revelations plural, but one revelation. It's one revelation. And can I say this? When God reveals himself and reveals his son and reveals your life in your life, in your eyes, in your heart, you see it as it is. That's what a person really needs. When a person has the Spirit of God do that to them, then they're on the right track. Secondly, the inspiration, the process of being mentally stimulated to do or to feel something. After that revelation comes, there's an inspiration. There's something that inspires you, something that moves within your heart that you can't hide, something that causes that heart to beat. I'll tell you this, I didn't know who God was, but I figured this, and I knew as much as he had to do something with me if I stepped out. I've heard a lot of people say they didn't know too many things about God. They didn't know the Bible. They wasn't a member of the church. Or some folks was even members of the church and they grew up in the church. But they really didn't know as much as God as they thought they did. But when God showed up and revealed himself unto them, there was an inspiration that happened in their life. And they stepped out of that inspiration and they moved towards God. After that revelation and inspiration, there had to be an illumination. James Powell, my junior, won't mind me saying this. I've heard him say it before. He says like someone turned the light on. The lights got turned on. Everything was totally different. Before it was dark and now there's light. Paul says in this second letter to the Corinthian church, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All the old things have passed away. The old things are become new. Why are they become new? Because the light got turned on. Everything's different. Everything looks different. Everything feels different. Everything you respond to. Your life is totally different and changed. Because the Spirit of God is now in there. Now to get back to this text, it says that you cannot have the spirit of man and the spirit of God. The spirit of man knows not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Can I say this tonight? You can still be saved, but there's other spirits that are still living around your life. You still have the spirit of the flesh. The Bible talks about a dumb and deaf spirit. The Bible talks about an evil spirit. The Bible talks about a lying spirit. All kinds of spirits in this world. When Samuel went to Saul because Saul's rebellion, Saul didn't do what God wanted him to do, and he thought he'd do God one better. We all know the story, the obedience is better than sacrifice. And Saul did not want to follow in the commandments of the Lord. And the Bible says that God removed his spirit from Saul. He removed it from Saul. And the Bible says that an evil spirit went upon him. We find in the scriptures where it talks about the lying spirit. In 1 Chronicles chapter, or 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles, I can't remember which one it is. But it talks about 2 Chronicles chapter number 18, verses 19 through 21. This is where all those prophets are there at Baal, or for Ahab and Jehoshaphat, talking about whether they should go to war. And they're all saying the same thing. They're all like, well, we're all going to pitch in. We're all going to see the same message. You know, they like it when the preacher says the same message, Brother James. They don't like nobody ruffling the feathers. That cat's all right, you petting it, as long as you're petting it the way that cat wants to be petted. But you rub that cat the wrong way, that cat don't like it. And the Bible says, who's going to go down there? And the lying spirit said, I'll go down there. Nobody wants to talk about the other spirits that accompany with the flesh. All we want to talk about is the Spirit of the Lord or the Holy Ghost. But there's a spiritual warfare that goes on. There's a spiritual battle that goes on. Wages every single day. The spirit of the flesh versus the Spirit of the Lord. It's not saying that you're not saved. The Bible says in that Romans chapter 8, he says, now, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if a man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. He didn't say if you had some fleshly spirits, didn't say you wasn't saved. He's just saying if you didn't have the Spirit of God living in you, you was none of his. Is that making clear?
Right.
Anybody confused on that? But he says there is a fleshly spirit. There is a carnal spirit. There is a difference in the spirit. And somebody says, well, how do you know which battle? How do you know how to wage the battle? You better feed that Holy Spirit. You better feed the Spirit of God that lives and breathes in you. James referred to it as that new man that lives on the inside. The new man, or the second Adam, as some calls him. But you have to make sure that that one's exercised, that one's strengthened, that one's ready for the day. The Bible says this, as he talked about in the 11th verse, he says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You can't know the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in you, showing you. But the one thing that a surefire gets you covered up is the spirit of the world, which is contrary to God. Preacher, what do I do? First thing you got to do is you've got to surrender. A great quote that I've found, it says, the greatness of man's power is the measure of his surrender. The measure of his surrender. John simply put it as this in John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Need more Jesus, need less Jason. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Secondly, we must pray. We all know the things about prayer. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray that one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17 says, pray without ceasing. But when it comes to our prayers, we can't just do a simple, slight prayer sitting and gazing about the church or the chapel with our eyes wide open while someone else is saying the prayers for us. It means a fervent, effectual, untiring wrestling with God, the kind of prayer that be sure the devil and the world and your own indolent, unbelieving nature will oppose, that will try to pour water on the flame as you try to pray. Can I confess a fault to you all? One of my biggest faults is I allow too much of the things of the world to get into my head. And I know if I don't close off the things of the outside world when it comes to praying, my iniquity will separate me from him. It's so hard in this day and age. What was the most popular thing is, I mean, the last couple weeks, I mean, it's getting down. You can't turn on TV now. What's turned from, you know, from just a competitive thing or just looking at politics and getting interested now is getting visceral and mean and hateful. What is that, preacher? That's not the spirit of the Lord. It's the spirit of the flesh. Getting stirred up. Didn't preachers, your flesh ever get stirred up?
I'd be a liar if I didn't say it did.
I got to fight it just like you do. Just like you do. We all, none's perfect. And lastly, we got to do, we got to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40, chapter number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. What's it got to do with the Spirit? So many times, Brother James, we'll open up that Bible, and if there's something right there that we don't understand, we'll just look at it and say, I don't understand it, and we'll push it off to the side. But I have found myself many a times, and I'm not the only one who's ever said this, but you'll find yourself in a piece of Scripture, or find yourself in a chapter, in a book, in a verse, and you'll read it, and you'll read it, and you'll read it, and you'll say, God, I don't understand it. God, I can't figure it out. God, I'm trying to find it out. God, I went on the internet. I've tried to Google it. I've tried to look up the Strong's Concordance. I went to Wikipedia. I've asked the preacher, I've asked other preachers, I've asked deacons and Sunday school teachers, and God, I don't know what it is. And God don't give the answer, and you get discouraged. Has anybody ever done that?
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're sitting in a church service, and all God's looking for is your heart to be open to hear what he has to hear, what he has to say. And I find myself in times that God would go straight to that verse and open it up. And reveal and illuminate and inspire me. I've had so many people tell me, well, preacher, this word, this scripture means this, and this scripture means that, and the Bible means this, and the Bible means that. I've had one fellow tell me who says, all it is just a carnal book. All it is just a book. Caleb was telling me he was talking with an atheist, and that atheist says, I can't believe you're going to trust in a book that's over 2,000 years old, and many of men have wrote that book, and you're going to trust in them thinking that it's some kind of thing that you should base life on. And Caleb says, what do you base your life on? That man says, I base my life upon science and upon cave paintings and other things that they have found. And Caleb says, so you're going to base your life upon cave paintings? Well, I base my life upon a 2,000-year-old book. I think I'll take the book. In this world, lost people, saved people, don't matter who they are and what they are, they're spiritual. But do they have the Spirit of the Lord? And as we go about our day, and I thought about this because the thing that got me was this past weekend, God blew through here. Somebody called it a gully washer. Somebody called it, it got hot. Somebody said it broke loose. I mean, you can call it all kinds of things. But man, the Spirit of the Lord really set on us. Now that right there was a taste, just a taste. That's some of those things that God has prepared for us. And he already showed us he'll do it.
Man.
That doesn't mean every service you got to run around and grab a ceiling fan and twirl around on it and swallow like a banshee. No. But what it does mean, we have to follow the Spirit of the Lord. When God told Elijah, go up top of that mountain and wait for him to speak, there was an earthquake, there was a fire, and there was a whirlwind. But God wasn't in those. But God was in the still small voice. Now, God could have been in the whirlwind, could have been in the fire, could have been in the earthquake, could have been in all four. It wouldn't have mattered if Elijah hadn't listened to what the Lord had to say and do. I wonder tonight. I sit there and I wrestled with the Lord today. I said, Lord, how do you want this to end? How do you want this to show up? And this is what he just revealed unto me. Would you like to grow stronger spiritually? Would you like to be stronger in the Lord when it comes to the Spirit of the Lord? So you can know more about the Lord? What's that old song we used to sing? I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that homeland I'm going to receive as my reward. It starts with a surrender. It starts with a prayer. And it starts with a waiting for God to give. This Bible is just a book. Sister Michelle, unless the Spirit of God reveals it unto us. This life is a mystery. I thought we were going to get in the mystery in Ephesians and Colossians. But the Apostle Paul said it's a mystery. Some people don't understand this. That's why a lot of it was hid from the And then when Jesus would spoke, he'd tell his disciples, he said, these things I've revealed them unto you. He goes, because the Father said that their eyes may be blind and their ears may be stopped, that way they would not understand. God don't give it to the whole world, but he gives it to them that love him and follow him. Are you here tonight and you're lost? You're basing things upon physical stats and physical events, but never know spiritual birth. Has there been a regeneration? Has there been a change spiritually? Has there been a place in your life where God took away your old yourself and bring you a new self and put it in you? It takes the Spirit of the Lord. Let's get us a song to sing. How is it with you tonight? Would you like the Lord to show you more? Would you like the Lord to reveal himself? The Bible says, through and by the Spirit, he'll do it. But we've got to have his Spirit do the revealing. I have not seen, ear hath not heard. That means it's not carnally seen. It's not carnally heard. He said, but the Lord will reveal it spiritually unto you. He will reveal it through and by his Spirit. When the Lord reveals it to you, nobody can take that away. Nobody can convince you otherwise. It takes the Spirit of the Lord. He's the authority.